Well, the Apostle Paul talked a great deal about love. Even though most likely, and I don't know if you think about these men of the Bible and even some of the women, if you think them in a very personal or natural way. I mean, let's face it, when you say the name Jeremiah or Isaiah or Daniel, you're probably thinking, these guys are not like me. Yeah. These are guys that are on this massive pinnacle of spiritual truth and wisdom and knowledge. And in some regards, yes, they were. But they're just like us. They were men, they were women that had all of the same frailties, all the same faults that you and I struggle with. And by all accounts, the Apostle Paul, the first great missionary to travel around the then known world proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul was probably not the easiest guy to get along with. He probably was one of those guys that you go, man, that guy has got a lot of gifts, but I can only take him for so long. Do you know anybody like that? Now don't shake your head or point to somebody. Oh, he's pointing. Jeff was pointing. Jeff, don't point at somebody. Jeez. I didn't say that quick enough. But let's face it, we all know people that, yeah, once in a while it's nice to see them, it's nice to be with them, but there comes that terminal point where you go, that's enough. I'm wondering if Paul might have been that kind of a person. I think he was probably pretty demanding. If you know anything about his missionary journeys, you know that he took people with him. He took men like Barnabas and Titus. He took a guy by the name of John Mark with him on one of his missionary journeys. But we read that John Mark left in the middle of the work. And because of that, the next time they were ready to go, Paul said, I don't want him on this trip. I don't know if he said it just like that. He may have. But he said, no, he's not coming. He's telling this to his buddy Barnabas. It became such an issue that Barnabas and Paul parted ways. Paul was adamant. No, he can't hang with me for the trip. He's not coming on the next one. Just like that, real tight mouth. That's how you say stuff like that. I think he was probably very direct. He didn't pull any punches. You read some of his letters. He's not exactly being genteel with these people. He's saying, I can't believe that you're still thinking this way. What's your problem? Would be another way to say that. Paul was like that. He might have even bordered on insensitive. He didn't care what people thought by the things that he said because he was doing what he believed God called him to do. Now, watch. This doesn't give you a license, though, that when you're doing something God called you to do, to ignore other people's feelings. You know, many times it isn't so much the message that's being presented, it's the way that it's being presented that often turns people off. The days of Bible thumping and pounding somebody about they don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. You can't do that anymore. It doesn't work that way. We live in a hypersensitive society, like it or not. And because of that, as Christians, we cannot change the message, but we've been forced to change the mode by how we present it to people. Otherwise, you lose them. That's not what I'm here to talk about this morning. That's for free. That didn't even count. Here's what I want to talk about this morning. The thing about the Apostle Paul is, and I think Paul probably was like, if you've ever heard that saying, don't ever meet your heroes. You ever heard that? You never want to meet your heroes because they are never what you made them out to be. They're always something much less than that. Paul, though, was a man that talked about the single most important thing in a Christian's life more than anybody else. He talked about love. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book. Come on, tell me where we're turning. 1 Corinthians what? 13. 1 Corinthians 13. This is called the love chapter. I have used this many, many times at weddings that I have performed. Jeff and Christy, did I talk about this at yours? You have no clue. You have no memory of what I said during that whole time. That's okay. That's all right. Jeff was somewhere else. But I just want to read the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13 and what Paul is saying here and how what we're going to look at is how Paul is saying love is the greatest and the best of all things. And nothing that you do as a Christian can be done outside of love. Does that make sense? All right. He actually starts the whole thing just before. He says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my bodies to the flame, but have not love, I gain nothing." Now, church, what you need to understand about this word is that was close, wasn't it? I nearly pushed that over. The Holy Spirit grabbed that and didn't let it happen. There we go, just like that. Paul takes these three verses and tells us that love is more important than anything of our lives. And that even those things that we believe are the true marks of a real Christian still must come under love. And how to deal with all the aspects of our lives all come down to one thing. They must be done in love. So I want to look at the three things that Paul just told us. Here's the first one. He said, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." Paul says very clearly, love is more important than the spiritual gifts. Now, notice I didn't say Paul said the spiritual gifts are not important. I said love is more important than those gifts. And let's face it, if you grew up or went to for a long time a charismatic or a Pentecostal church, the spiritual gifts were pretty much it. That was what everything was based on. So much so that it has become in many churches a source of division. Because this person thinks that's the most important thing. You know, hey, if you're not speaking in tongues, then you're really not filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, wait a minute. If you're not prophesying, Paul said, "I'd rather prophesy than do anything else." We go back and forth with all these things. But you know what it still comes down to? If those things are not done in love, Paul said, they're useless. They're of no value. Paul talks about the gifts in the previous chapter. That's why he says, "And now let me show you the most excellent way." Because he spends the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians talking about spiritual gifts. But did you know he speaks twice as long about how to use them and the importance of when you use them in the church that you maintain unity? How do you do that? Through love. The gifts are used in love. Now, do you know what he's talking about when he says a resounding gong? Do you know what that's in reference to? He didn't just pick this thing out of the air. There was a reason he said that, because the people would understand what that meant. In the pagan religions of that day, which is where they all came out of, you got to remember, Christianity didn't start with people being Christians. There was no Christianity. They all came out of pagan. They had to be saved from that. So Paul uses that example because in their pagan religions, when a person would walk into that temple, there would be a gong or a cymbal there. And when they walked in, they took a mallet and they would strike the gong or strike the cymbal in order to wake up the god that they were coming in to pray to. And Paul says, if you do these things without love, you are of no more value to the kingdom than the useless act of trying to wake up a non-existent God. That's what he said. That's the value of the spiritual gifts without love. It's nothing more than just making noise for something that isn't going to make any difference because it isn't there to start with. And Paul is trying to get these people to understand that you can do all of the things on the outside that look impressive. And how many times Christians do that still today? What are the things that people go, "Well, you know, I help at the church, but I'm not up front. I'm not playing an instrument. I'm not speaking." Church, what Dave and I and the rest of the team do is of no more value, no more importance than somebody that's serving here at this church that nobody even saw what you did. There's no difference, because we are serving God. Your gift is not the same as my gift. My gift is not the same as that person's gift. The important thing is that you give of yourself in love. On the day of Pentecost, which you read about in the second chapter of Acts, God gave all of those that were present there the gift of speaking in languages that they did not understand, that they did not learn. And he did this as a way of beginning to be able to move the word out into other places other than that area. If you didn't speak the language of where you were going, how much value would that be? So that was part of the reason why those languages came during that time. But Paul is saying, if you can speak in every earthly language that there is, if you've got the ability to be able to talk to anybody about anything, but you don't do it in love, it's a resounding gong. It's a clanging cymbal. My friends, we have been called to serve God in this hour, and especially in this hour, in a way that has got to be absolutely saturated with the love of God. And that's one of the reasons why I try to encourage you to lighten up a little bit with all of the information about all the things that are going on, because I could see it's robbing our love. We get so angry. We get so frustrated. We get so adamant about this is how it has to be that the love begins to drain away. And church, no matter what it is your intentions are, if it's not done in love, it's of no value. Paul then goes on. He said, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, Paul says that love is more important than how big your brain pan is, how smart you are. Even how much of the Bible that you know, if you know this entire book front to end, you can say every word. If you don't have love, it's of no value. The words that you're saying are of no value. Being the smartest man will not give you any more meaning if you have it without love. Terence Tao, T-A-O, is a 45-year-old man, lives in California. He has been a child prodigy. Well, you know what? If I say he's been a child prodigy since he was little, that's redundant. Because he'd have to be little to be a child prodigy. Are you following me on this? As far as I want to go, that's confusing myself. He has been a prodigy in mathematics ever since he was little. When he was 6 years old, he scored a 760 on the math SAT. That's out of 800. 760 out of 800. He's 6 years old. I didn't even know where the toilet was at age six, let alone being able to. And to understand how smart this guy is, you have to recognize what the quotients are for intelligence. Now, IQ determinants, there's some people that are say they're very valuable, some people say they're trash. But regardless of whatever you think, most people know when you give an IQ number, that's supposed to signify something. So here's what it is. If you have an IQ between 90 and 100, you've got average intelligence. So there you go. Just, you're not going to walk into a wall or do anything like that. Average intelligence, 90 to 100. If you're between 100 and 120, you have superior intelligence. From 120 to 140, you've got very superior intelligence. And anything over 140 is a genius. This guy tested, verified several times of an IQ of at least 200, if not 220 or 230. That's this guy's intelligence. Which is why, as I said, what did I say before? Did I say age six or age nine? It's nine. Age nine. Age nine, 760 on a math portion of the SAT. He had his bachelor's and master's degree by the time he was 16. At the age of 21, he had a PhD in mathematics. You ought to read the title of his PhD. I had to go sit down. I had to go take a nap. It's amazing. And at the age of 24, he was the youngest person ever to receive a full professorship in mathematics at UCLA. He's been a chairman of the department there for the last 20 years. Guy's brilliant. On Terrence's best day, without love, all of that is worthless. It's worthless without love. And see, Paul is wanting the people to understand, just as he wants us to understand today, that love has got to be the very envelope in which we live. Everything of our lives done in that way. To know that the people around me, the people around you, if they've got a high IQ, if they're, you know, they've got some smarts going on and you can tell they've got it all together, if they don't have love, it doesn't mean a thing. And the love that you carry, the love that you show will demonstrate who you are and what you are to the people around you. Here's the third thing then. He said, if I have faith that can move mountains. Now, Paul again is saying, love is more important than faith. Watch what he didn't say again. He didn't say faith was not important. He said love is more important because that faith has to be in love. So let me ask you this. What do you have faith in this morning? What is your faith in? Certainly you think about here at church. We have faith that Jesus lived just as the Bible said that he did. None of you were there to experience the life and ministry of Jesus face to face. So we have to have faith that the word is true of who he says that he was and is. We have faith that he was and is the Son of God. That he was not just born of a woman, lived and died, and that was it. He was the Son of God. And we have to have faith in the fact that he died for our sins so that we might have salvation. You may have, church, a great and very powerful faith in your life, but if it is without love, it has no value. See, now, Pastor Dave, I'm having a little bit of a hard time wrapping my head around that one. Because is not faith the cornerstone of our lives as Christians? Yes, it is. It's a cornerstone. But what's the foundation of your relationship? It's love. Because it was out of love that God sent Jesus Christ to die for you. It was out of love that your sins have been forgiven. It's out of love that all of the things of your past and even the things of the future, where you're going to fall or fail because sin is always a part of our lives in some way. It's that constant wrestling match out of love. God says, when you're forgiven, I don't remember it. It's done. You never did it as far as I'm concerned. That's love. And every aspect of our lives, whether it's our intelligence, whether it's what we think should be happening or not, whether it's our faith in who God is, all of that must come under and through love. In Galatians 5, 6, Paul again writes, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Here's the last one, the fourth one. He says, if I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship. Paul is saying that love is more important than giving or self-sacrifice. And let's face it, church, there are a lot of churches that have said, hey, listen, if you give of yourself, if you sacrifice of yourself, those are the true measures of who you are in God. There have been religions, there have been sects that have been set up all based on self-deprecation, denying myself. If I have, then I'm not spiritual. And see, church, the fact is that God does not deny his people things of this world. God is not upset if you've got a great salary or a big bank account. God is not concerned if you've got a beautiful big house and the latest cars and all those things. God doesn't care about any of that. What does God care about? He cares about your heart. As long as you have those things and those things do not have you, that's a blessing from God. But now, what is it that God wants you to do with that? He wants you to bless the people around you. He wants you to give. He wants you to make sure that people are living in a way that their needs are being met if he's blessed you and calls you to do that. But if you do it without love, it has no meaning. And see, Paul says if you give everything, Paul's not even talking about tithing. Tithing is the minimum. That's 10% of what he gives us. That's the minimum. He doesn't say if you give even more than the minimum. He doesn't say if you take some things that you really don't need anymore. What was Paul saying? If you take every possession you have and sell it, if you empty out your bank accounts, if you max out every one of your credit cards and you give all of that money to the church, if you do it without love, it means nothing. It means nothing. Are you beginning to see the importance of love in our lives? And about how love is not about an emotion that we feel when we have a good day. Amen. Yeah, I have love for everybody today. It's just so wonderful. I want to give everybody a big hug. I don't want your hug. I want you to be true to what the Word of God says about love. That love. And Paul goes through this list later. He says, love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering, it keeps no record of wrongs, it delights in the truth. All of those things that love are, that's what we need to be showing to the people around us. Not an ooey-gooey thing that comes and goes. See, the world's concept of love is not the same as what the Bible says. The concept of love in the world is, it can be defined by one simple sentence. What have you done for me lately? That's the world's definition of love. Because if you stop making me happy, if you stop doing things for me, I'm not loving you anymore. That's the definition. People fall in and out of love like they're up in a tree and boom, the branch breaks and down they come. I had no choice. That's not the Bible's definition of love. Love is what God has given us that we turn and we give to the people around us in the same way, in the same measure. His love cannot be earned. It cannot be lost. There is nothing you can do about God's love that's going to change it. That so too should what we are desiring in the love that we have for our friends. I don't like that guy anymore. I don't hang out with them anymore. They talk bad. They talk nasty to me. I found out some things I didn't like. You know what? If you love that person, that ain't going to matter. It's not going to matter. The love that I have for you is the same love that God gave to me. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you do. I'm going to love you. Now, that doesn't make me some superstar of love. It's just I've done it enough times wrong that I don't want to do it that way anymore. I want to be an example of Jesus Christ everywhere that I go. Does it always feel good? No, it doesn't always feel good. You ever get your feelings hurt? Yeah, from time to time. It doesn't change it, though. It doesn't change the fact that I'm still going to be, to the best of my ability, a demonstration of the very love that God gave to me. So, summarizing all of this, love, Paul says, is more important than spiritual gifts. It's more important than your intelligence. It's more important than your faith. It's more important than your generosity. Jesus said, John 13:34, he said, a new command that I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so love one another. Notice what Jesus did not say. And you can look this up in the original language if you want to. It doesn't change. He didn't say a new suggestion I give to you. A new recommendation. A new if you feel like it. No. A new what? A new command I give to you. A command from Jesus Christ. A command from God is one I'm going to obey. I think we put ourselves in a very difficult place when we begin to try to pick and choose what it is of God that we want to do or not do. It makes it very simple, church, as a Christian. Just do what God says. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. Now, church, this is not easy. There are going to be times when you are going to say, you know, this was a lot easier when I didn't have to love everybody. I understand that. But to live and to work and to act in love means that you are going to be a shining example of who God is. You say, I don't know how to witness. Yeah, you do. Love the people around you. You say, I don't know all the Bible verses I'm supposed to say. You don't need to. Love the people around you. You say, well, people don't like the way I do things. They think I take control. They think I'm this. They think, well, are you doing those things in love? Because when you do, it changes everything. And in that moment, you are walking as a Christian the way that you should, because now you're obeying the command that you've been given. Let's pray together. Well, Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And I thank you, God, that these words are true. They are true when they were written. They're true today. They'll be true forever because you never change. And your love for us is never gone. So, Father, I pray for each of my brothers and sisters here this morning, those that are watching this online. God, I believe that you have brought some faces, some situations, some circumstances into our minds during this time for the purpose of asking, how was I loving then? Was I obeying the command that I've been given to love one another? And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that we would not receive these things in condemnation, but Father, we would receive them in conviction to know that you're patient, that you're loving, that you're kind, and you give us, God, opportunity after opportunity to do it the right way. And so, God, I pray that from this moment on, we would desire for all things of our lives to be done in love. Thank you, Father. I pray your blessing over each and every person here. And as we leave this place, may we, God, desire for everyone to see and to hear you in everything that we say and do. In the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.